Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word, 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to begin reading at verse number 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desired to look unto. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. Let us pray. Father, I thank you again for the wonderful, blessed book, the Bible, the Word of God. Now I'm thankful this morning we have it, and Lord, that we're free to read it, and Father, here today to preach it. And I pray today that you'd fill your preacher with the Holy Spirit of God. You might empower him, O Father, to speak boldly thy word today. And Father, I certainly pray and also ask you for the wisdom of God that I might say those things that would please thee. And Father, also for the clarity of mind and thought and speech. And Father, I pray for a sweet, attentive spirit in this place. I pray that folk will be willing to listen to the book, the Bible, the Word of God, and listen to it, Lord, not only hear it, but do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We was talking in our Sunday school class this morning. We was discussing the subject of why we study prophecy. And we had taken them to one of the reasons, and we'll just look at it just a moment, was that we might lead clean lives. God wants us to lead clean lives. He wants us to be pure and clean. And so he reminds us constantly about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I made a statement to them that in most of the cases where you talk about or find in the Scripture that that we find the coming of Jesus Christ along with it also goes along clean living. The purpose of prophecy, the purpose of knowing that Jesus is coming again, is one of them is to help us to live right. And here in 1 Peter, if you'll notice over in verse number 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perished, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory of the appearing of Jesus Christ. Once a time again, it tells about the Lord Jesus coming again. And now, from our text today that we're going to use, especially in verse number 13, wherefore, he said, looking back to all these things, and looking back to the fact that Jesus is coming again, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. This morning we're going to bring a message that we have entitled, Satan Wants Your Mind. Satan Wants Your Mind. Do you hear me? And in the Word of God, God says to gird up your mind. The word gird up means to encircle with a belt, to equip, to prepare for action. Gird it up. Get it ready. There has never been a day, I believe, in the history of mankind when Satan is working harder to get the minds of God's people. And I mean, he wants it. You know, last Sunday, Sister Betty Townsley went out and she said, you know, Brother Ross, I read the book, A Battle for the Mind. And I have also read that years ago. It's by Tim LaHaye. And I might say to you, I usually don't recommend a lot of books, but I might say to you, that's a must that you read that. You ought to read it. Parents, if you care about your children, read that book. Now, it's not just for parents who have children. It's for all of us, but you ought to read it. Because there is a great battle for the mind. Satan is working hard. He wants your mind. Do you, and I'm not talking about old age, all right, because we all have those infirmities. But do you have more trouble concentrating than you used to, seem like? I want to tell you something. Satan works hard, and he wants your mind. He wants you thinking about the things that he wants you to think about. He don't want you to think about this service this morning. He wants you out cooking dinner somewhere. He wants you busy doing something else, thinking about what you're going to do this afternoon and all kinds of things. He doesn't want you to hear the Word of God and be encouraged by the Word of God this morning. But what I'm simply saying to you is that Satan wants your mind. And he's doing his best to get it. And of course, also the unbelievers also. He's got them tied up with that also. Now, our battle, I might say to you, our battle, and it's important you understand that, our battle is against the devil. It is a spiritual battle. And most of the time we don't recognize that. We don't understand it. We think our battle is against everything under the sun. But if you're a Christian here this morning, whether you realize it or not, you are in a battle. You are in a battle. You know, for years we looked at communism as our greatest enemy. Now, folks, you know, communism supposedly is changing and getting better. I don't believe that one moment. But anyway, I want to say this. Communism has never been our enemy. Satan is our enemy. That's just one of the things that Satan uses. Just the one of many, many things and means that Satan uses to fight against us. And certainly communism was one of them. Because they took young children, years and years and years of young generations of young children, and taught them against God and did not allow God into their life. And so I say to you, certainly, he has used it, but remember who our real enemy is. Now, whether you realize it or not, in this pulpit this morning, I am facing a battle. I am trying to bring truth and proclaim truth against the lies of the world and the devil, and there is an absolute battle going on. Always will be. Anytime the Word of God is preached, there is a battle going on. Because a preacher's trying to bring the Word of God, you're trying to listen to the Word of God, and Satan don't want either one. So I say to you, there's a battle. Let me tell you, there's some battles in the homes across America. The home is the place where you'll train those children for future generations. And I want you to know there is a battle going on. You've got a battle trying to build a home with biblical principles. Everything is going to fight against it. And even sometimes you'll fight against each other. The wife will look at it and say, honey, you're being too hard on them. Let them give up a little bit. Let them do a few things. And the dad thinks, oh my goodness, I'm always saying no to my children. And so he lets up and he don't realize he's making one of the biggest mistakes he's ever made. There's a battle going on. I'm saying to you, in the homes of America, there is a battle, and Satan is doing a very good job. He's doing his best to win that battle. Let me say to you, in the church, there is a battle going on. There is always a battle going on. You know that God is even this morning preparing you to serve as a soldier? And do you know if he wasn't a soldier, you wouldn't be fighting in some army? He calls it a soldier. You are a soldier in a battle preparing, because when you leave here, you walk right out into the world and there's a battle out there. Amen. And sometimes there's battles in the churches. It shouldn't be, but sometimes the battle's right in the church. But let me say to you, Satan's going to work anywhere. He's sure going to work there. But you go right out to your workplaces, and let me say to you again, there is a battle in the workplaces of America for Christians. You are fighting the type of lifestyle that they are living. Every time you stand as a testimony to your belief in Christ and you're living right and you stand up for the Word of God, there's a battle going on. Not only that, certainly there's a battle in the schools of America, and let me say, the schools have already lost. Humanism has taken over the schools and has for many, many years, and the battle there has already been lost, basically lost. And I say to you why, Brother Ross, because the curriculum is humanistic. No matter how good the teachers may be, how sweet and wonderful the teachers may be, the curriculum, what is being taught, is humanism. So I say there's a battle going on everywhere you look. The battle rages, and there's a battle for your mind. You know, the Bible calls the devil a slanderer, an accuser. You know, that's his character. Did you know he accuses we, God's children, before God constantly? And he slanders the name of God to us. He says, see, if your God really loved you, that wouldn't have happened. He slanders the name of God. That's his character, folks. You can't expect anything else out of him. He's an accuser. He's a slanderer. And the word devil means to set at variance. He sets at variance God against man. That's his work. That's what he desires to do. And he wants your mind. Over here, if you'll notice, in the scripture I read, he says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he tells us that we ought to gird up our minds. We ought to encircle it with a belt. We ought to bind it together. We ought to equip it and get ready for action. We ought to make sure Satan does not get our mind. Go with us over to the book of 2 Corinthians just for a few moments. 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. Let's start at verse number 1. Would to God we could bear with me a little in my folly. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And indeed, bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. For I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The Apostle Paul said, I have a godly jealousy over those that he had taught the Word of God. He had brought them to Christ, and he had a godly jealousy over them. Let me say to you, don't you feel about that when people whom you've led to Christ? It's not there a godly jealousy that you want them to serve God and love God? That's one of the things that so gets to this old preacher, is when I see people who've accepted Jesus as their personal Savior, and they just won't win any victories. They won't get in church where they belong on a regular basis and stay true to the Scripture. And that is a horrible thing. And the Apostle Paul felt the same thing. And he says this, For I fear, in verse 3, For I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Listen, I want you to understand something. The devil never quits working. You know what he does? He probes. And he probes, and he probes, and he probes until he finds a place of weakness in the children of God. And he never stops. And then when he finds that place of weakness, look in verse 3, But I fear lest by any means... He begins to exploit, and he has many means to do it with. He begins to exploit that weakness. Listen to me, folks. You and I are flesh. And without the strength of God, you won't be able to walk with God like you ought to. And Satan is busy about probing your life, finding that place of weakness. And when he finds it, he's going to exploit it. You need God's strength. Listen, going back to Eve, I'm not going to turn back there right now, but you know the story of Adam and Eve. You know how she was deceived by Satan. The Bible says right here in verse 3 that the serpent beguiled her or deceived her through his subtlety or his craftiness. She was deceived by this craftiness of Satan. Listen, what did he do? One of the things I believe that he did was this. He brought something to her to fascinate her. Now, I don't know whether animals spoke back in those days or not, but this serpent did. And as that serpent spoke unto Eve, she was fascinated by this. She also was fascinated by the fact that there was a fruit there that God didn't want her to have. I want you to remember something. Be careful what you're fascinated with. Be very careful what you're fascinated with. Pride and vanity entered into it. Satan used pride in Eve's life. Why? So she could be something she really was not. He said, you'll be as gods. And she thought, boy, I'll be as gods. I'll know good and evil. Be careful when Satan offers you something that you're really not anyway. Proud. Big shot. Satan says, I'll make you a big person. I'll make you a big man. Big lady. You'll be important. You'll be like gods. Be careful with that. Pride is a terrible, terrible, terrible temptation. Not only that, I want to make a statement that may help you, I hope. Discontentment is one of Satan's greatest tools. Now, I want you to listen to this. Satan cannot get you to sin unless he first gets you to be discontent. Unless you are unhappy and discontent, he cannot get you to sin. So he works on discontentment. Listen to me. Do you know why adultery happens? Because somewhere along the line, a wife is not content with her husband, or her husband with her wife. And Satan says there's better for you. If you never get discontent, you'll never sin. Listen, you know why people steal? Because they're not content with what they have. They're not content. Listen to me. When you get discontent with anything, you're on the verge of sinning. Satan's got you right where he wants you. Why do we lie? Because we're not content with truth. You know, folks, when you're content with truth, you don't have to worry about lying. Someone says, Brother Ross, how many was in church Sunday? Oh, about 5,000. If I said that, you know what's the matter with me? I wasn't content with whatever was here. So I lied. You understand me? Listen. Listen, that's the way Satan works. He gets you discontent with what you have. And then he can get you to sin. But you know, the Word of God teaches us just the opposite. We are to be content in whatever state we are. Amen? So Satan works on our minds. Do you remember what the Word of God says in John 8:44, that Satan is a what? He's a liar. And he don't have any scruples. He don't care about truth. He lies. Now listen, Satan's target is your mind. He wants your mind. Listen to me for a few moments this morning. He wants every individual's mind in this place this morning. He does not want you to pay attention. He does not want you listening. He wants your mind. You know, when he first led the first man and woman into sin, what did he do? He went after Eve's mind. Just what we found here in the Word of God. And so what does God say? God says we got to renew our mind. You know, I sat down with an individual this week, I think it was on Monday, a man who I led to Christ some time back, And he was talking to me about, he said, and he's reading his Bible and things like that. And he said, you know, but he said, I have these awful thoughts that go through my mind. And he said, I don't understand it. He said, I could be reading the Bible and have bad thoughts go through my mind all at once. And he said, sometimes I'll just go put the Bible down because I don't like that and I don't know what's going on. I said to him something, and maybe it'll help you. I said, for the last 42 years, you was a child of the devil. You thought like him. You thought about everything from the standpoint of the world instead of God. And that's why God says, now that you're a child of God, you've got to renew your mind, your thinking. Listen, folks, as a Christian, you're not going to think right and do right until you get that mind renewed through this book, the Bible, the Word of God, and start thinking like God thinks. That's why He don't want you to read the Bible. That's why He doesn't want you to pray. That's why He doesn't want you in church. He doesn't want you there. Why? Because He knows that through the Bible, the Word of God, you'll have your mind renewed. You'll start thinking like God thinks pretty soon. And that's what God wants of us. But Satan wants the opposite. He does not want you to renew your mind. And the only way you can do that is through the Bible, the Word of God. Sanctify them through truth. Thy Word is truth. The Word of God is truth. And you must be sanctified, renewed through the blessed book, the Word of God. Now listen, if Satan can get you to believe a lie, he can get you to sin. And he does a good job on that. He does everything he can to get you to believe a lie. You remember what Proverbs 23 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. He wants you to think wrong about the Word of God. He wants you to say it doesn't make any difference what the Bible says. You know, God really didn't mean all of those things that he put in his Word. He wants you to take them lightly and not pay attention to them. Do you understand? He does not want you to say, look, that's what God says, so that's what we've got to do. He doesn't want that. He wants you to think that you can do anything you want to do, anytime you want to do it, and that's your business. But it isn't. What the Word of God says is absolute truth. The Bible says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. If you want peace of mind, you'll keep your mind on the Word of God. You can't have it any other way. Don't tell me that you have peace of mind and you don't think about and chew upon the Word of God, because you can't have it. God said it's through the Word of God we find peace. In Romans, the 8th chapter, the 6th verse, for to be carnally or fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. When you think about the things of this world, there's no way in the world you can have peace. You cannot have it. It's impossibility. You must renew this mind, and it has to be renewed by the Word of God. Now, what does Satan use against us? What weapon does he use against us? It's lies. You see, the Bible says in the book of John, there is no truth in him whatsoever. He's the father of lies. You can't believe anything Satan says. You understand that? You just can't believe it. You see, now I want to take a few moments and look at the steps that he used against Eve when he came to her and beguiled her. First of all, he done this. He questioned the Word of God. He said this simply, hath God said? And let me tell you, he's using that same principle today. Whether you know it or not, in subtle ways, he's saying the same thing to you. Hath God said I should be faithful to church? Does it really make any difference? Hath God said? Hath God said that I ought to read the Word? Satan says, did he really mean that? Look, you're busy. He don't care about that. Hath God said that you ought to pray? And Satan says, don't worry about praying. He knows you haven't got time for all that stuff. And he questions the Bible, the Word of God, on a daily basis in our life. And secondly, he denied God's Word, because here's what he said to Eve. It's because Eve told him, he said, we would die, surely die. And he said, ye shall not surely die. He said, God didn't mean that. That's not what God meant. In other words, don't take the Word of God literally. Is that what Satan's saying to us? That's what Satan says. But the Word of God says, take it as it is. Thus saith the Lord. Amen? But Satan says, don't worry about that. You know, you're not going to die. In other words, if you're unsaved and you die, you're not going to go to hell. That's what Satan says. But Jesus said, if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. And there's a burning hell for those who are unsaved when they die. Amen? But Satan will say, "Nah, don't worry about it. God wouldn't send a good person like you to hell. He wouldn't do that." Listen to me. Listen to me. That's Satan's lies. You understand? He wants your mind. He wants you to believe lies that he gives you. Then the third thing, he substituted his own lie for the truth. He said, "Ye shall be as gods. Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." In other words, what he was simply saying was this: ye shall know how to decide what is good and evil yourself. You won't need God to tell you. That's a lie of the devil. God determines what is good and what is evil. God in His Word shares with us and shows us the truth of His Word and what He's against and what He is for. He tells us, not Satan. In Romans 1:25, who changed the truth of God, speaking of Satan, who changed the Word of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. He changed the truth of God's Word and changed it into a lie. Now, how did Eve respond to this? First of all, she took away from God's Word when she spoke to Satan. Let me say something to you. She never, ever ought to have had a conversation with Satan. She ever, never, ever should have communicated with him. What she really should have done is said, "My husband is the head of our home. Go speak to him about these things, Satan." And ladies, that's what you ought to do too. "Husband is the head of my home. Go speak to him about these matters." Amen. But instead, she took away from God's Word. God said, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden." Excuse me. He said, "You may freely eat of the trees of the garden." She said, you may eat of the garden, the trees of the garden. And she left out freely. That's important. I want you to know something. When God saved me, He gave it to me freely. Offered it unto me freely. No, not only that, she added to God's Word. You see, God said, "You shall not eat of that fruit. And she said, not only that, He said we couldn't even touch it. Boy, isn't God a meanie? He don't even want us to touch that. And then not only that, she changed God's Word. God said, "Ye shall surely die." And she said, "Least ye die." In other words, there's a good chance you might die. No, that's what God said. God said, "If you eat of that fruit, you shall die." Amen? That's what people are saying today. At least we die. Maybe there's a hell. Maybe there isn't. Oh, yes, there is. Amen? Yes, there is. And so we find that old Satan wants your mind. And if he can get your mind, he can get you looking at God's Word and begin to doubt the Word of God. And if you treat God's Word in this fashion, I'll guarantee you, you're wide open to Satan's devices. You need to remember the Word of God is true. Whatever God says literally is true. Amen? Everything He said is truth. Don't believe Satan's lies. You know, Satan doesn't advertise he's a liar, folks. He calls him an angel of light. He works through real capable of people who speak with real good voices and says real smooth things. And it all sounds nice, but if it isn't according to the book, the Bible, it's a lie. I don't care who's speaking it. Someone has said, I've heard people talk before, said, "Boy, I just love to hear that person preach." And he just, and that's good. Nothing wrong with that. But make sure that person is telling the Bible. You're not captivated by the way he speaks or the way he tells stories or the way he does this or that, but that he's teaching you the Bible, the Word of God. That's what's important. And so you see, Satan wants your mind. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. And his target is your mind, and his weapon is lies. Now, what's his purpose? What's he trying to do? First of all, he's trying to make us ignorant of the will of God. In the Word of God, the Bible reveals God's will for us. And Satan does not want you to know the will of God for your life. The Bible says, "The Word is a lamp to my feet, a light unto my path." It's the Word of God that will guide your path and light your feet. It's God's Word that will do that. Understand? Satan doesn't want you to have a light that goes before you. Satan doesn't want you to know the will of God for your life. The Bible says in Psalms 40, verse 8, "I delight to do thy will, O Lord God. Thy law is within my heart." Why does he want to do his will? Because he, the law of God, the Word of God is in his heart, and so he delights to do the will of God. You see, so the only way you and I can know God's will is to know the Word of God. If he can make you ignorant of the Word of God, he can make you ignorant of the will of God for your life. Listen, Satan has blinded the minds of them that believe not. You know why people are unsaved today? Satan has their minds blinded to the truth of the Word of God. Understand? And he wants that mind of yours. What are you thinking about right now? What was you just thinking about? Was you listening? Or was you playing a game, as some are? You know why? Oh, Satan wants your mind. He doesn't want you thinking about it. He don't want you to think about salvation. He don't want you to think about getting saved. He don't want you to think about getting right with God and doing right. He doesn't want that. Listen, do you know what will happen if you don't know the will of God? Do you know what will happen? Satan can mess up your whole life. You'll make stupid decisions. You'll do things that are contrary to the Word of God. You'll build the wrong kind of life. You'll get involved in the wrong kinds of activities. And you'll say there's nothing wrong with them. You'll say, what's wrong with dancing? What's wrong with drinking? What's wrong with smoking? What's wrong with drugs? You know why you ask those questions? It's because Satan has your mind. And he's fed you a bunch of lies. And your life will turn out wrong because it won't be according to the will of God. And not only that, you also will influence people in the wrong way. My dear friend, listen to me. If you don't know the will of God, you can't walk right. You just can't do right. You say, well, Brother Ross, what do I do about this? Listen, your defense is the Word of God. Satan wants your mind. He uses lies so that you won't know the will of God. What is my defense? What can I do? Know the Word of God. Hear it and study it and know what God says. It's the Word of God that says, "Ye shall not commit adultery." You say, how do I know I shouldn't? Because God said so. How do you know you shouldn't lie? Because God said you ought not to lie. How do you know you oughtn't to steal? Because God said in His Word you ought not to steal. God said in His Word, "Have no other gods before me." How do you know that? Because God said it. You know the Word of God and you want to follow the Word of God, you see. That's how you'll know the will of God for your life. The Word of God says, "Honor your father and your mother." Do you believe that? Some people treat their moms and dads like dirt. And it's either they don't know the will of God, don't know the Word of God, or they don't care. One or the other. But I say to you, if you listen to the Bible and read the Bible, you'll know the will of God. And you'll know when Satan's lying to you. Amen? And that is your defense. You can take this wonderful, wonderful book, the Word of God,
and meditate upon it and think about it and hide it in your heart that you might not sin against God. You'll know what God says and you'll be able to do the truth, the will of God. Folks, listen, Satan's after your mind. He wants you thinking things the way he wants you to think about them. I want to know something this morning. Are you here this morning and you're unsaved? You've never, ever been saved. You know what Satan is telling you? You don't need to get saved. Everybody would laugh at you. Everybody would make fun. You'd be a fool if you went up front of this church and accepted Jesus as your Savior. That's what Satan says. But God says they'll be rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over the salvation of a soul. Amen. And I'd kind of like to see this morning the angels, in the presence of the angels, let there be rejoicing. Amen. And as we as Christians, my dear friend, we also need to realize Satan wants our minds. He wants us thinking more about the things of the world and what we're going to do and how we're going to do it and how we're going to plan for the future than he ever does wanting us thinking about the Word of God and God's plan. Amen. Multitudes are going to hell and we're worrying about the things of this world. More concerned about them? Say, how you know? All you have to do is look around. I see the concern of people when I come on Thursday night and see the amount of people who visit. Some visit on Saturdays, bus visitation. But I see the concern of people over the lost souls. They're caught up in the world. It's more important to them. Satan wants your mind. Don't let him have it. Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for the wonderful grace of God. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love. Once again, I ask you today, Father, if there's those here in this place that has not received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, oh, Father, don't let Satan win the battle. God, help them to understand that they need you. And Father, I pray for that soul that's nearest hell. I pray, oh, Father, that you will search the hearts of each and every one here in this place this morning. And, oh God, that you'll do what is necessary to bring each heart to where he ought to be with thee. If he's unsaved, oh Father, help him to understand they need to receive Christ. I pray as we as Christians, if we're not doing right and don't care about the things of God, that there'll be a renewing of our mind, a renewing of our spirit, that once again we'd care again about the souls of men. I pray for your will to be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.